friends. This is Carolyn Evers. And do you know who's with me? Who's with me over there?
I can't imagine who's with you over here. This is Richard Presser.
That's good. Anyway, people who have been following our work have been looking forward to this call today because it's going to be a second, edition of our Crop Circle Friends. And, Richard, this is so exciting. Would you tell them about the Crop Circle we're going to be talking about today?
Yes, the major one I guess we'll be talking about is the crop circle that turned up on the solstice, the 21st of June. And what got us excited was that, I'm just trying to think when it was, I think it was the previous full moon in May, the May full moon, our crop circle friend came in on the messages for that full moon and said that they would lay down a pattern for solstice, and lo and behold, they did exactly that. So it was pretty exciting to see that come forth. So we'll be talking about that pattern and maybe some others.
And you can call in with your questions. You might say we have a show tonight that's out of this world because some of the participants are. And I just love it. In case you didn't hear this the last time, the people who lay down the crop circles are from Arcturus. And if you're not familiar with Arcturus, you might have recalled some of the words that Edgar Cayce said about Arcturus, that is the entry and exit point for this solar system. So souls who move on, who move out of this solar system and wish to move to other places, they go through Arcturus. Now, I find that extraordinary that the crop circle people are from Arcturus, and they have told us that they also work under the, I'm trying to think if he said the word contract. In other words, the Sirians are working with the people here on planet Earth for their advancement, their spiritual advancement. So they, you might say, have a mandate or a contract, and the Arcturians are working, at least this is what they tell us, are working under that same, you might say, incentive. So there are two different planets that we know of right now that is working together to help raise the consciousness of the people here on Earth. And the crop circles, I'm going to let Richard tell a little bit about how they lay those crop circles down, because we had an interesting question last time we were on about it, that it must take a lot of energy. And I'll let Richard talk about that. So, matter of fact, why don't you come in right now and talk about it, Richard? That might be a good idea.
Okay. Yes, the crop circle makers explained that it really doesn't take a lot of energy from their perspective because they work in conjunction with the elementals. The elementals are beings that... Is that your microphone, Carolyn? I can hear
you. I think so. I moved it. that was one of the elementals coming in.
That's the elementals are beings. Thank you. I missed that. the elementals are those that you could say shepherd plant life primarily. They take care of the grasses and the flowers and the trees and so on. And so they play a major role in interworking with the Arcturians to lay down these patterns. So they obviously send forth the pattern and send forth the detail of what they're looking to have laid down, but it's really the key work is done by the elementals working with the plants to lay them down in that way. So it's quite fascinating.
Yeah, so the Arcturians do the design. They send the information over, you might say, to planet Earth, and the elementals here work with them and cooperate with them and actually do the work on the ground. The purpose for these crop circles is that they are giving messages to the subconscious. And I knew about that, that this works on the subconscious, and I thought, hey, wouldn't it be great to not only have these designs working on the subconscious, but to understand consciously what the message is? And I thought that was really a great idea. And lo and behold, we contacted these individuals. And would you say, Richard, that we had agreed to do this before we came to Earth?
I would say that in hindsight. I think we've come to understand that that's the case. And as so often with these things, you don't have a clue about it until you trip over these things and start to do it, or you feel some intuitive guidance to go and check something out and find there's some arrangement you'd made before you ever came.
And it is fascinating also that we see a lot of these crop circles in England, and they are following some major ley lines. And also, there are ancient groups in England who have, you might say, left their influences upon the earth, like the Druids, for instance. And maybe somebody will ask the Arcturians why they are using those, but that seems to be the case. They are using those ley lines. And sometimes the farmers aren't too happy about it. Richard, do you recall that one crop circle where the manager of the farm thought this was vandalism?
I do. It's quite good. In fact, I might just pull it up while we're chatting here to get that page. It's quite talk about something else for a moment, Carolyn, but I'll find that. It's really quite amusing.
Gee, I wonder if I could find something to talk about while you're looking at it.
It'll challenge you, I know.
My friends, if you want to call in your questions about the crop circles or talk to the Arcturians, the ones who lay these crop circles down, you can give us a call at 888-815-9756. As Richard looks up that farmer's information.
Oh, yes. Let me read it to you. It's quite funny. He says, I have this morning noticed the circle on land that I manage. I do not support this vandalism and demand that this circle and the location are not reported on your website, which, of course, where I was reading this notice. We will be posting notices on the field stating we do not allow access to the circle and will regularly monitor the field to ensure this is obeyed. At this stage, the crop remains harvestable, and as a result, we will leave the circle intact. If visitors to the site ignore our notices and continue to walk into the crop, we will mow out the circle. I will be taking advice from the local police and legal advice from our solicitors to counter this act of vandalism. Please let the teams behind the circles know they are not welcome here. If we get any more, we will be forced to mow them out to avoid the hassle. I thank you for your assistance. So we did tell the Arcturians they should take notice of legal action against them for vandalism.
Yeah, that was a chuckle, wasn't it?
It was.
I wonder how they would deliver those summonses. Okay, let's get down to some serious business here. And that is the day of the solstice, June 21st. We were told ahead of time that on that date, there would be a crop circle laid down. And to our delight, they were true to their word. Oh, I just love it when people do what they say they're going to do. Don't you, Richard?
I do. And I'm seeing a little notice here. Jessica is on line one. Is that something we should take notice of?
Why not? Well, I guess we're supposed to talk to Jessica, but I'm not sure how to work this. Do you know how to work it, Richard?
So I'm not sure.
Jessica.
There she is.
I'm impressed.
I had a question relating to terms that we use, like angels and the terms that you're using for different groups. Like, I just wanted a little more clarification, maybe, on how these beings relate, our understanding of spiritual beings, things like angels and what we call ghosts and whatnot. How do those relate to, like, the beings that, you know, create the crop circles and whatnot?
I could give you an answer. But, Richard, why not connect with them and ask them where their place is in creation, say, compared to angels or other souls, and see what they say?
Yes, I'd be willing to do that. So I call forth our crop circle friend. He is here. And so I'm sure you heard the question. And so what do you have to say about this? And he is saying, we are beings that reside on a planet, you could say, not unlike your own. We are beings that have a soul like you and have a physical body like you. So there are a lot of similarities between how we are and how you are. There are some differences, but for the purposes of this conversation, let us ignore those. When you talk about an angel is a being that does not have a physical body, at least not at this point in time. And so you could say they are a spiritual being. Spiritual being only. They have an energy body, but they do not have a physical body. And angels perform many tasks within the cosmos. And I will not open that up to a great degree, but there are angels performing many different tasks. And so the key difference I would suggest between what we are like with a physical body and angels is that we have a physical body and they do not.
Are we from the same origin as you?
I don't know. Did they hear that, Richard?
Yes. It depends on what you mean by origin. All souls within creation were created by all there is. And he created what is known as the monad for each individual. The monad is, you could say, the totality of the soul and contains many particles. And you, incarnated on Earth, are but a few particles of the totality of your soul, your monad. It is said that the monad incarnating on Earth, and indeed on our planet, would be like trying to fit a very large elephant into a very small bottle. It simply is not going to happen. The monad could not incarnate on a given planet. And so the monad sends forth these fingers of consciousness into various, you could say, expressions of consciousness onto different planets and into different lifetimes. So, in a sense, you and I are the same. We are fingers of consciousness sent forth by our monads to experience in a particular expression of creation. So we are from the same source.
In a way, I'm picturing the fractal nature of the universe, and I'm wondering if, in some sense, you're like another timeline, in a way.
It's important to understand the distinction between life on your planet and life on mine. Humanity, by and large, does not understand its unique experience. Since the fall in Atlantis, you have lived in what is called linear time. And although you are aware of the existence of the past and the future, you do not experience them concurrently. Most beings live in what is called the now, where you can experience past, present, and future concurrently. And we live in the now, and humanity lived in the now before the fall in Atlantis, and will return to living in the now beyond ascension in early 2013. And so that is the primary distinction between your experience of time and mine.
Thank you. Maybe one more question would be, when we reincarnate, do we go to different planets and live lives like you do, or do we come back to the Earth? Or
in many cases, the monad will send forth fingers of consciousness to different experiences of creation concurrently. It is quite capable of experiencing many forms of consciousness, you could say, concurrently. And in a sense, there is some level of continuity within a given sphere. And I would say that the notion of reincarnation, which has been such a powerful experience on Earth since the fall in Atlantis, will, for all intents and purposes, disappear in the terms that you understand it beyond ascension, because before you ascend, if you choose that path, then your body will be rejuvenated if you have gathered a few extra years. And at the very least, it will be transformed to a different form before that ascension process. And part of that transformation will see the disappearance of the aging of the physical body, which was also something that was introduced into your human experience at the time of the fall in Atlantis. So it's, you could say, two aspects to the answer of your question.
Thank you very much.
And Jessica, thank you for your questions. I can tell, you know, you're a seeker, and you took a lot of time putting together what you wanted to know, and we thank you for adding to this conversation, and we thank our crop circle friend, as Richard calls them.
Thank you. It's been a privilege, and I'll let you go. I'm curious also about the sun behind the sun and if Jupiter is becoming a new sun, but I'll get off the line or else I'll keep you guys going forever.
I know. The questions are just fascinating. I think that's a worthwhile question to pursue, Richard. The sun behind the sun. We have a different name for it. Let's see what our crop circle friend calls it.
There will be, from the time of ascension, the experience of a second sun within your solar system. And this sun will be, you could say, blue in color, because it is a spiritual sun, is perhaps the way to describe it. And indeed it exists today, it is just not visible to you. And I will take a moment to address the notion that Jupiter is becoming a sun. I would say to you that there is so much spoken of that is so-called spiritual upon your planet that has little to do with the truth. And I will simply say that Jupiter will not become a sun.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you jumping in with that answer. Richard, why don't we talk about the crop circle that the crop circle makers set up for the June solstice? Lots of breathing here.
Yes, am I making a lot of noise on my microphone? I can certainly...
Yes.
I hear... you're scrabbling on yours.
Well, Richard, you just have to stop breathing, dear.
Okay, I'll practice that. Off air, though, how's that?
Okay, that's better.
And so the question was, what's the nature of, what's the detail of that pattern?
Yes. Well, we sent out information to the people who were on our list. By the way, before we get into that, why don't you tell people how they can get copies of our information that we send out? Because there might be some people on board tonight who are not aware that they can get all of this wonderful information just dropped into their email box.
Yes, if you go to our website, the2012countdown.com, and just go to the bottom of any page on that website. You can enter your name and email address and hit enter and then respond to the reply email that you get and you'll be registered on our list. And so you'll receive all of those emails.
And like, for instance, when we talked about the show tonight, Richard sent out the picture of the crop circle that we are discussing tonight, which... is very helpful because as we talk about it, you can actually see the pattern. So, Richard, I guess it wouldn't be such a good idea to describe this because it is kind of difficult, although I might say it's sort of like a wheel in a sense to me when I look at it.
Yes, actually I didn't send this image out in that email. Yes, it's... The pattern is essentially circular, and it consists of, it's like a pie almost. There are 20 slices, I guess. Some of the slices are filled in parts, and others are not. And some have described it as looking a little like a windmill, and I can understand why you might feel that way, because there are substantial parts of some of the slices that are filled in, and they are by and large swapping between ones that are filled in and ones that are not. So it kind of gives that impression a little. And it's kind of filled in a segmented way. So the circle around the outside is completely filled in and part of the second circle. And then if you actually look at the pattern, a lot of the pieces that are filled in are interconnected, even though they are filling in pieces of some of the slices of the pie, if you will. And so how this is made up, as I said, is it's kind of got 20 slices to the pie, and then there are 12 rings around the pattern. And so you've got all these little segments, which are segments of the pie and then segments of the ring, annular segments, if you will. And so this pattern consists of pieces that have been filled in and pieces which are not, is kind of how it looks. And probably about a third of it is filled in and the rest is not. So that's kind of how it looks. And as I said, if you look at it closely, most of the segments that are filled in are actually filled in two interconnected pieces, and there are a couple of little segments that are independently filled in. And so what our crop circle friend had to say about this is that the whole pattern, if you will, reflects the totality of the knowledge that we need to gather, if you will, before the December 2012 solstice. The knowledge and the energies, perhaps you might say. And what he had to say was that the larger piece, if you will, that's filled in, that kind of snakes around through the overall pattern, was actually sent forth by the June solstice of this year. So a lot of information, a lot of energy that we require came forth with that solstice. But it's not a piece that you can, in many ways, simply identify. It filled in pieces of the various slices of the pie in various places. And that is also true for the other largish piece, which is filled in many segments, which kind of begins at the at the center and splays out. He explained that that was another event, if you will, that had provided most of those pieces. And so what he's saying is that there are a significant amount of the information has been provided in this way, but there is still quite a bit to be filled in, and in many ways we won't understand the complete pattern until more of it has been completed. So that's the essence of what he had to say about this.
And by the way, that name is the crop circle at Vale, V-A-L-E, of Pewsey, P-E-W-S-E-Y, showed up on June 21st, 2010. And so that, Richard, what is the website that we're getting these pictures from?
Oh, yes, it's the cropcircleconnector.com.
And what is
www.cropcircleconnector.com.
And what's so fascinating, if you haven't been there, to see these crop circles, people in their planes, I just love this, fly over the crop circle and take pictures. And so when you see a circle, I mean, it doesn't look really large in a small picture on the net, but when you see it from all different angles, you get an idea of how large these circles are. We still have our friend here from the crop circle. We don't have a dimension on this. Does he have some sort of an idea as the size of this crop circle?
Well, I'll ask him in a sec, but it's interesting to look at this because if you look at the wheel tracks which come through it from where the sprayers have come through it, because those wheel tracks are essentially where spraying work has been done, those wheel tracks would be perhaps, I'm guessing, about 2 meters apart. So, you know, that represents about, you could see there about half of one of the rings. So if there are, what did I say, 12 rings, so they're doubled up, that's 24, so which means you've got about 48. So it's about 50 metres, I would calculate, just looking at it on the ground. So that's my estimate, not his.
I love you, Richard, 50 metres. For those people who are not on the metric system, what would that equate to?
Oh! Well, a meter is kind of close to a yard, so you can multiply. It's about 150 feet, roughly.
Now I understand.
I forget that I'm in this this country that sort of lives on a apart from the rest of the world.
So you say. And the worst of it is I can't even come back to him and say, well, our culture's older than your culture because that land over there in Australia is older than ours. So I can't even come back with that.
Well, you're being very generous. I mean, the European aspect of us is a lot younger than here. But nevertheless, let's not get caught in all of that.
Let's not. I'll follow you better if you start speaking English. But for my friends out there, our number here is 888-815-9756. Give us a call with your intriguing questions because this is a three-way conversation between Richard and myself and the individuals who lay down the crop circles, which most of what we see is in England, and they are from Arcturus. And I have to say, I certainly did enjoy the questions that Jessica had asked, and I certainly did enjoy the answers that they gave us. I thought they were intriguing. So give us a call. We're waiting for your magnificent questions. And until we get a question from someone in the field, you might say, Richard, what kind of question might we ask our Arcturian friends that we would be interested in? Besides your breathing again.
Well, I always breathe, you know, that's one of my bad habits.
Okay, I've got one. I'm aware, well, it comes to my mind that, first of all, I'm going to go in a different vein. What definition could our friend give us to what ascension means? What is going to happen in 2012 and the beginning of 2013? If he was going to give us some guidance to the people on Earth, what would he say?
Thank you for your question. I really like the opportunity to share my perspective on this subject. The events that are about to unfold upon your planet are being watched by many beings throughout the cosmos for many reasons. Firstly, when humanity fell into the very low vibration, the very high density of the third dimension, as you call it, with the fall in Atlantis, there were many who thought humanity would not survive the experience. And the truth of the matter is that you live in the most dense form of consciousness where beings with a soul such as you and we carry. But you did survive, and you are now approaching the time when you will return to the kind of vibration that you carried in Atlantis, and indeed will go beyond that. And this change I will address initially from how I see it within your context. And so what we see happening is that at the time of the December 2012 solstice, there will be energies that will come to your solar system, not just from galactic center, but indeed from cosmic center, and indeed energies that will come forth to your solar system from what is the mirror image of your solar system, or indeed the galaxy on the other side of the black hole, which is a mirror image in dark matter. So there are a number of sources of energy that will be sent forth to your solar system at the time of that solstice. These energies will cause many things to happen, you could say. The first is that they will transform the spacings of the particles of matter in your world. And I will mention that there was a slight shift in that spacing that occurred with the solstice that has just passed. But that is small compared with what will occur at that solstice of December 2012. And this is a momentous moment. And it is momentous in part because there is a requirement for humanity to prepare for that time. There is a requirement to clear all of the past life karmic energies that you might carry, because these energies cannot be taken forth to a higher dimension, a higher vibration. It is the nature of these sorts of energies. And those beings that have not cleared these energies from their physical bodies, the impact of the energies coming in will be such that those negative karmic energies will be destroyed, and in doing so the physical body which is holding those energies will also be destroyed. I do not mention this as some kind of threat, I mention it for your understanding. And there are also energies of great wisdom coming forth to your planet and to your solar system with this event, because the mirror image planet, the mirror image of Earth in dark matter, has not experienced the fall in Atlantis as you did. So they are very advanced beings and they have not experienced the intermingling with the dark that you have experienced. And so they will be sending forth great wisdom to share with you. And if you are open to receiving this, it will contribute to a great advancement for those beings who are open to receiving this wisdom. So there are many things coming forth with those energies. And you can look at those energies as being preparatory for the events that will follow. There will be an aspect of that soul that you know of as Marietta, the first soul or monad created after the cherubim and seraphim angels. An aspect of that one will be sent forth at the end of that year that you know of as 2012, after the energies of the solstice. And I would mention that the one you know of as Yeshua is also an aspect of that soul. And the reason that that aspect will be born upon your planet is to trigger the reawakening, you could say, of the human DNA. Few of humanity today are aware that prior to the fall, your bodies, both physical and energy bodies, contained over 2,000 DNA strands. And with the birth of that aspect of Marietta, those strands will be reactivated. It is hard for you to imagine what impact this will have upon your skills and abilities, to go from 2 to over 2,000 strands of DNA is hard to contemplate. It will be a tremendous moment. That will then be followed by the uplifting you could say, of the vibration of both the planet and all present upon it at the time of the equinox of 2013, and that is the time of what is known as the Ascension event. And this is all of great interest to so many beings across the cosmos, because firstly, this transition, a transition of this magnitude, has never occurred before. There have been ascension events on many other planets, on many other solar systems, you could say. So that event is not unusual. But the level of change which is coming forth for humanity is a level of change that has never been seen before. You will be moving from the lowest vibration where a soul exists anywhere in creation to the highest vibration where a being carries a physical body. And you could say it is a gift from your Creator for having chosen to walk this very difficult path upon planet Earth. And it is also of interest to beings across the cosmos, because as Mother Mary has described in more than one of her messages that are recorded on the 2012 timeline page, creation is like a vase where it rests on the lowest level of vibration. And so when the consciousness of planet Earth is lifted up, so too will the consciousness of all of creation. And this is not understood by humanity by and large at this point in time, and it is part of the reason that the events upon your planet are being watched with such great interest by so many beings. And so that is my perspective of what is unfolding upon your planet.
I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Richard Perriette from Ontario is online too, but I'm not quite sure how to pull that up.
I'm not sure that we need to do anything, do we? I think it's something that our friend
Seth
will do for us. Seth, do you do this for us? Can you bring Perriette on for us?
I do. Sounds like a marriage veil, a vow. I do.
And she is. Perriette, you're joining us?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you?
I'm good, indeed. I'm certainly enjoying this wonderful conversation here and discussion on crop circles, and I had a question here. Given the fact that there was so much emphasis on this latest crop circle during our June solstice, is there any connection between these crop circles from our friends, the Arcturians, and the fact that maybe one might see 2, 3, 4 moons during the full moon period? Or is it simply a variation of consciousness? Is there any link between the crop circles and the fact that one might see more than one moon? I don't know how it is tied to this, basically, the crop circle. It may not be. It's just simply a link that I'm trying to establish here. Does that make sense?
Well, let's ask. Let's ask and find out. The question is, does the crop circle have anything to do, perhaps energetically or in a teaching mode, with people who see more than one full moon?
There is no direct connection between these two occurrences. We bring forth the crop circles at times where we feel it is appropriate to do so. And sometimes they align with energetic events and sometimes not. Sometimes they carry pointers to particular events, as we have talked about and has been identified by others on the discussion pages of the Crop Circle site you have mentioned, the appearance of, or the experience of, multiple moons is a reflection of spiritual advancement, you could say, by the individuals concerned. Or another way to look at it is the vibration that they are operating at. And as the energies continue to increase, to the vibration continues to increase upon your planet, and the spiritual development of individuals progresses upon your planet, then more and more will begin to experience the viewing of apparently multiple moons at the time of the full moon.
Thank you so much
for your answer, and thank you for your question, Piriette.
May I ask another question following Jessica's question as well?
It has to be quick because we're running out of time, and Frank is on the line one, and I want to get to him. So make it quick.
And, yeah. I was just going to ask about the Jade Sun in the same, basically in the same line of thought. The Jade Sun.
The Jade Sun? I'm not familiar with the Jade Sun.
Yes. The visualization of the Jade Sun up in the sky.
Could you explain what you mean by that, Pierrette? Are you saying
it's
that
simply,
there are some people who see a second sun?
I'm sorry for having interrupted. It's simply that at times the sun, instead of being this beautiful yellow, radiant yellow, is totally the color of jade, the jade sun. And I was wondering if there was any connection.
I haven't heard of this, but let's ask and see what our crop circle friend has to say about that.
There are some people who witness the sun as being the color that you describe, and it is a reflection of, you could say, an altered state of consciousness of that individual at a particular moment in time. So you could say it is their experience that the sun is displaying that color, but it is more a reflection of their consciousness. And indeed, you could say seeing multiple moons is a reflection of their consciousness. And perhaps you could argue there is a connection between the two. I see them as somewhat separated, but it is a real phenomenon for those individuals who experience the sun as that color, and so it is.
Thank you for your answer.
God bless you, and thanks
you're welcome, dear. We want to go to line one and get Frank in because we only have 5 minutes. Frank.
Hi, how are you?
We're great. What can we do for you?
Yeah, my question pertains to a couple crop circles that were laid down in England last year. The two resemble what appeared to be a dragonfly and a jellyfish. And I was just wanted to ask the reasoning behind painting these crop circles as animals and what the significance of that was, if any.
It's a good question. Richard?
There are many approaches that we take and have taken to the creation of the crop circles. And there are many upon your planet who continue to claim that the patterns are man-made. And if you recall the dragonfly, it was without question an expression of an insect that was very familiar to you. And for those who looked at the detail of that insect, it reflected a level of understanding of how that insect is made. And also, it was laid down with a level of detail that was quite, you could say, exquisite, even if I might say so. And it was a message on several levels. It was a message that we understood in detail the nature of this insect, because there is this view widely expressed that all of the animal and insect and plant and human life upon your planet has developed by natural selection. This is so much nonsense, and those who perpetrate this view understand this truth. And so we put that there because it reflected that we understood in detail the nature of that insect. And secondly, there is no way that any human being could have put this pattern in place. So it was a message to say that we understood this insect and we could lay down something with such fine detail that no human being could possibly put in place. So this is why we chose this pattern.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Frank. We enjoyed your question and we enjoyed the answer. We have one more minute, and that's not enough time to get another question in, but I would like to thank our crop circle maker friend. We're going to have to give him a name.
We will. Perhaps we could ask him sometime. But.
Yeah, we'll ask him. So we would like to thank you, Richard, for being the go-between, you might say. And thank you, our friend from Arcturus. We are delighted to be able to bring forth this information. Sign up at our website so you can get the mail that we send out about crop circles, Father God messages, tremendous amount of information that we do send out. And until the next time, when we come forth with this information again, we will notify you in your email box the crop circle that we're going to talk about and what day we're coming on. So until next time, this is Carolyn Evers and Richard Presser. Goodbye
for now.